Take your Bibles, turn to Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. Good to see everybody this morning. Thank you so much for coming. Psalms chapter 1. I believe in the next few weeks, and it'll probably turn into months, we're going to start a series on the heart of man. We're going to start a series in Sunday school on the heart of man. And there's a lot of different facets to the heart of man, and we're going to study that a little bit together. But today we're going to study Psalm chapter 1, and we're going to break this down into verses and break this down on what we're talking about here in Psalms. Before we do, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. We'll get together on these prayer requests, and I hope and pray that that you seek the Lord throughout all these prayer requests, because honestly, that's where you're going to find peace and that's where you're going to find answers, is through the Lord. So let's make sure that we turn to Him during these times. Amen? I said amen? Amen. Amen. Get some coffee. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and have Brother Phil. I'm going to give this paper to you, Brother Phil. And if you could go ahead and lead us in prayer this morning, I would really appreciate that. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Phil. In Psalm chapter 1, it has six verses that compile three that have to deal with righteousness, but they have to deal with righteous living, not becoming righteous, but having righteous living, and not being in a state of righteousness, but your life being a life that tries to live the best that it can in righteousness. I will preface that statement by saying that you are still a sinner. I don't care how righteous you live your life, you're still a sinner. And let me help you out a little bit. The better you live your life, the more you'll realize that you're a sinner. And I can't sugarcoat this at all. There is a thought process that the man that's close to God is an exalted man, but that's not true. The man that is close to God is a humble man. The man that's close to God is not somebody that's going to stand up and say, hey, look at me, I'm close to God. The man that's close to God realizes how much of a sinner he is and realizes how great God is. Okay, so that's a kind of a preface to that first statement, that it deals with man's path to righteousness or right living. The fourth and fifth verse deal with ungodly living and the way that people live ungodly. And let me help you out a little bit. You can be a saved person and still be living ungodly. This isn't just speaking of people that are not saved. This is speaking of ungodly living. I know many people that live ungodly lives that are saved people, or at least they say they're saved people, which worries me sometimes, because I see people living an ungodly life and it always brings to your attention, I wonder if they know the Lord. which is sad. I'll give you a story about myself. My best friend growing up, his name was Barry. What a great name. I love that name. He was my best friend growing up. He went to church. I didn't go to church. He didn't do everything right, but he did some things right. I didn't do anything right. I was living a life that was suspect. He was living a life that he suspected me of not doing things right. So there was a day that we're playing basketball outside. He looked at me and he said, "Hey, listen, I want to tell you right now, I'd like to have you come to church with me." And I said, "Well, I don't really go to church, but you know, whatever. If you want me to come to church, I'll come to church." He says, "Another thing, I think you ought to be saved. I think that the Lord wants to save you. He wants you to be saved." And I looked right back at him and I said, "I got saved at 11 years old." He looked right back at me, says, "Well, you sure don't live like it. You sure don't look like it." Now, I worry about that type of thing because we as Christians have a responsibility to make sure that we do our dead level best to grow in grace in the Lord. I am fully willing to let a person grow in grace slowly. I'm fully willing to, matter of fact, I'd rather have you grow slowly, but I'd like to see a person's life get closer to God. A person that's saved that does not get their life closer to God, just like I did, in my heart, I realized that God wanted me to get closer. I knew it, but I didn't want to do it. Amen? Just like losing weight. I know I should, but I really don't do it. Right? You want to, but you don't do it. When I'm saying these words about ungodly, there are the ungodly, wicked people out there. There really are. Unsaved, don't care about being saved, hate religion. There's those people out there. But I don't believe those are the only ungodly people. I think we should examine our lives and the things and the facets of our life that we don't do godly. Amen? Now, if you look at these things, that verse, the fourth and fifth verse, deal with ungodly living. The sixth verse sums that all up. The sixth verse gives us a summation of what the Lord wants us to realize, that this is what the blessed people, the godly people, the people that try to do their best, and then you've got the people that are not trying to do their best, ungodly people. Look at the first verse. Now, starts out, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." I've heard message after message after message about this verse 1. I've heard tons of things about this and all the right things. I'm going to try to break this down just so we can think a little bit. If you look at this, you see a regression here from walking, moving, to have a moving sense of life, to having going in a direction, to sitting, having no direction, to standing, which gives you no direction, no movement, to sitting, which is now you're done all completely. It's a regression of life that I don't believe is an accident. It's a regression of thinking, you can go with your mind and think about people that are living this way right now. I can go in my mind and think about folks that used to have a direction. Whether it be godly or ungodly, they had a direction. Then I can see them stopping and standing in their life and coming to a crossroads. And then I can see them in their life sitting and not doing a thing. Just sitting in that place. Do you know of somebody that just sits in a place in their life and they're not having any direction, they're not thinking about a direction? The saddest state, in my opinion, is a person that's not moving at all. Now, I want you to think about this with me. Verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." When I say ungodly, I'm not just picking out unsaved people. There is ungodly counsel from saved people. You have to be careful as a saved person. You have to be careful as a person that to go to people. Let me say it this way. If you want a certain answer in your life, okay, let's say I'm sick of the preacher talking about tithing. You may be. Good luck with that. I'm sick of the preacher talking about tithing. He talks about money too much. But it's amazing to me that money is the one thing that men have a real problem with. And I did too. I really did. All my life, I like my money. I earned it. I don't want to just give it away. But then I realized that it was God that was giving it to me, and I had a lot less problem with giving it back to Him. Now, listen. So say I'm tired of giving money. I promise you, if you look hard enough, maybe even in this church building, if you look hard enough, you'll find somebody that will counsel you to stop giving. You'll find somebody, if you look hard enough, you'll find somebody that will give you the answer you're looking for. You really will. I don't care where you're at. That's why people generally go and go and go until they find somebody that gives them the answer they're looking for. I find it curious here that God says, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, I may be stretching it here, but it's amazing to me to watch people walk from person to person to person to person to person until they find the person that agrees with them. That's the person I'm going to listen to, the person that agrees with me. Now wait, let me ask you a question. Knowing where I stand, would you come to me for that counsel about giving money? If you don't want to give money, are you going to come to me and say, preacher, should I give money? What answer are you going to get? You're going to get the answer that goes with the Bible. The Bible says you're supposed to do that. I'm just picking on money today. Take your pick of whatever it is. Should I be a homosexual? Come to me with that, okay? What answer do you think I'm going to give you? I'm going to give you the answer, no, you shouldn't. But I promise you, you go around, maybe not around this room, praise God, but you go around enough people, eventually you're going to come to somebody who says, oh yeah, I think you ought to explore that. That's the counsel you're not supposed to walk in. That's the place you're not supposed to go. That's the person you're not supposed to listen to. And by the way, can I help you a little bit? If you're saved in here today, praise God, if you're saved in here today, you know the Lord kind of tells you that answer long before you get to the council? The Lord kind of tells you. First of all, if you get in His Bible every single day and read that Bible every single day, you'll find answers to a lot of the questions that you currently have. Then you go to people that you trust will give you the answer that you need, not the answer that you want. We're talking about counsel today. Well, bless God, I think I'll buy a $1 million mansion. If you've got enough money to buy that $1 million mansion, I'd like to talk to you after. But if the preacher comes to you and says, you ought not, by the way, it's amazing to me how many people make big life decisions and never talk to their preacher. It's amazing to me. You don't have to come to me. Praise God, you're older than I am, probably made more decisions, but it's amazing to me that God won't steer you in that direction. I just believe God will steer you in the direction of getting counsel from godly people. I just really believe He will. So that you don't get the answer here, so you go to a counselor that will give you the answer that you want, and you get that answer, and praise God, that's the answer you go with. Because that's the answer you wanted anyways. That's the answer you wanted to be. That's the answer you wanted to have. You wanted to have that answer that satisfied you, not satisfied what God wants. I promise you, God will take you in a direction that's a correct direction. If you don't want to go in that direction, you'll find somebody that will take you in a direction this way. When the Bible says, blessed is a man that walketh not in that counsel, that's the man that says, I want the answer that God wants me to have. That's this direction. I'm going to get that answer that God's man wants to give me. Or, by the way, you don't have to go to the preacher. There's people all across this room that want to steer you in the right direction of godliness and the right direction of what to do with your life. There's people in this room that care about you that want to give you that good counsel. But do you know you have to seek counsel? You have to seek counsel. Why is Brother Dave so hard on reading the Bible all the time? Because you find so many answers in here of questions that you currently have. I'm not going to tell you to walk in the counsel of Joel Osteen. Now listen to me. Wait a minute though. Joel Osteen, who I don't believe is a godly person, can give you counsel to steer you in the right direction. Can you believe that? These people can give you counsel that are not godly people can give you counsel that will steer you in a godly direction. I don't know how that works, but it can happen. But I'm going to tell you right now, I would go to my pastor, my deacons, I would go to them 1 million years before I'd go to somebody else. The chances of you finding good godly counsel out of Dr. Phil are slim to none. But the chances of you finding good godly counsel out of the people that you know and trust in your church are very, very good. Amen? Now, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So you'll come to me and say, wait a minute, I did what this godly person gave me, godly counsel. I want the direction that would be of godliness, and it didn't work out the way I thought. How many have had that happen? By the way, we're still on the first few words here. You walked in that direction. By the way, has anybody ever had that happen to them where you're doing your dead level best to be godly? You're doing your dead level best to walk the right direction, yet you go this way and it seems like you're fighting battles all the way. Can I tell you why you feel that way? I'm telling you, I've been doing a study on this a lot, on the things of the flesh. Do you realize this, that your flesh will tell you that you're going in the wrong direction right off the bat? So you look along the way, your flesh looks along the way and says, you know what, boy, this is bad. You should have never came this direction. Boy, this is bad. You should have never went this way. The spirit inside of you tells you to walk that direction, but a lot of times we ignore that spirit inside of us because the flesh is so much bigger. We walk and follow the flesh along the godly way, and you walk and follow the flesh along the godly way. Your flesh tells you, don't go this way. If you go this way, you won't be able to pay your bills. I gave my tithe and I was short on my bills. You should give your tithe whether you're short on your bills or not. Hate, but it doesn't work. But preacher, now you're just speaking foolish talk. Let me help you with my life again. I put myself into such a financial mess when I was younger. It would take me forsaking my bills to put in my tithe. It really would. Now you say you're a money grubber. I'm telling you what the Bible says. The Bible says you're supposed to give 10%. I don't care what you tell me. That's what the Bible says. Take it up with God. He's the one that's got the issue with it more than I do. But in my life, I would have years ago, and by the way, I fought tithing, fought it because I didn't want to do it. The Bible says, God loveth a cheerful giver. Well, praise God, there's my out. That's what I said. Praise God, there's my out. I'm not cheerful, I'm not giving. Woohoo! Thank you, God, for the out. I'm not going to give until I'm cheerful. No, God loveth the cheerful giver. He commandeth you to give. Stink! Now let me help you out. I started out the direction, I don't want to do it. But I knew that was the right direction. Please stay with me. I know that's the right direction, but I don't want to do it. We just had six weeks, I think it was, on music. Many of you came to me and said, I took that bad music out of my car. I'm trying to take the bad music out of my life. I lived where you're at. I know how hard it is. I know. So you walk this direction and you get sick and tired of Christian music. Isn't that something how that happens? I'm sick and tired. I don't want to listen to Pastor Dave sing. I don't want to listen to Tiffany sing. I don't want to listen to Kaylee sing. I just want to hear rock and roll again. You go this direction. It's making me in a bad mood. No, it's making your flesh in a bad mood. The Christian music will make your flesh mad, won't make your spirit mad. So you walk in this direction, you find resistance all along the way. So you'll go to somebody. They'll tell you that music ain't so bad. Praise God, I found my answer. There it is. The music ain't so bad. But you forgot that the music ain't so good. So you go right back to where you were. And by the way, generally, you start out this direction, you take a couple of steps this direction. When you turn around to go back, generally you go 6 or 8 because you go further than you ever were. I know this isn't going over well, but we just started. Praise God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You should pick people in your life. I won't mention his name because I think he'd be embarrassing here, but I pick people in my life, and I watch this man go through something very serious in his life with his family, very serious. And I sat in a room with him. And by the way, I watch people. That's the way it is. I'm young. I understand I'm young. I watch people that are older than I because I want to see how they react to things. Because what if it happens in my life? What if it comes along in my life? I want to see how the gray-haired, I want to see how the older men deal with it. People have been in this game longer than I have. I want to see how they deal with things that come up in their life. I watched this man, and I watched him look at his loved one there, and I watched him tell me with his mouth, God's in control. God has this for a reason. That's the man I want to get counsel from. Why is that? Because I don't believe that man is going to tell me to turn my back on God when the time gets rough. You're never going to go through anything rougher than this person was going through in their life. You're not going to do it. You're not going to get through anything rougher. I've got to watch it. Man, what, praise God. I've got to watch it several times. Not good that I got to watch it because then it happened. But I got to watch it with several men in this room right now that are with me. I got to watch them go through the most difficult times of their life, and I got to watch them praise God through it. Where am I going to go for counsel? I'm going to go to those men. Why? Because they held God up. It's not hard to find godly counsel. All you got to do is watch somebody's life a little bit. Watch them have faith. Watch them have love. Watch them have joy for the things of God. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I don't need ungodly counsel. I need godly men to put me in the right direction. By the way, there's not one person in this room that's above needing godly counsel. Not one. Not one. Well, you're the preacher. I love the sound of it. Anyways, you're the preacher. Yeah, I know. I need godly counsel all the time in my life. All the time. Are you kidding me? I am so fortunate that my pastor's here. I'm so fortunate. Because I get to have godly counsel. I'm so fortunate to have gray-headed men around me. And I love gray-headed men. I think it's wonderful. The Bible calls it the glory. And I love to watch them work and watch them do the things that they do in their life. Why? I need their counsel to put me in the right direction. You say, wait a minute, you're called to preach. You're called to preach. People walk in the ungodly counsel all the time. All the time. Should we have Sunday night services? You could get a preacher that'll tell you, no, you shouldn't. Right? There are preachers all across America that don't have Sunday night services. Let me help you out. I'm not walking in that counsel. There's preachers all across America. Let's shut it down on Wednesday night. Nowhere in the Bible do you find a midweek service. Let me help you out. They had services all day, every day. Would you like to join that church? We're not going to have less church here. We're going to have more church if I can help it. So in your life, the ungodly counsel is the direction you do not want to go. You don't know what, and you know what, you know what it is. Your flesh desires it. If your flesh desires it, learn to say no. And then go to one of these older men. Go to one of these men that you know, or you know. You look around the room, you know who they are. Come on. Walk in that counsel as they sit by the bedside of their spouse and their spouse is going through ailments and problems and all these other things, and they say, praise God, that's the man you want to follow. That's the counsel you want to have. Don't follow the counsel of the ungodly that curses God for the things that happens in their life. You follow the counsel of the ungodly. When bad things happen, they praise God so that good things can come. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Look at the next step. The next step. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man that walketh, or that standeth not, nor standeth in the way of sinners. We're all sinners. Started out with that. Really, honest to goodness, we're all sinners. I know that. But you should not stand with people that don't have a problem with their sin. That's where it's at. I have a problem with my sin. I don't like it. I don't like the fact that I have bad thoughts. I don't like the fact that I get upset when I shouldn't. I don't like the fact that I do the things that I ought not do. You should not walk or stand in the people. You should not stand in the group of people that has no problem with their sin. By the way, let me help you out a little bit. Sometimes those people exist right in your own church. I'm not talking about the wicked that are out there, although they are the wicked. I'm talking about be very careful that you don't stand in that place inside this building. I would not go into a room with a person that wants to shut the door behind and gossip about somebody else. Don't go in that room. That's standing with the sinners. That's standing with the sinners. That's a great example of standing with the sinners. When you can't wait to go here. By the way, everybody in this room rubbernecks at a car wreck. Everybody wants to see it. Your flesh desires it. Your flesh desires to see chaos. Your flesh desires to see those bad things. Your flesh desires to... By the way, let me help you out a little bit. And I say this all the time. What that gossiper may be telling you may be truth. It really, hey, you watch me long enough, you'll have something to talk about. And it may be true. But just because it's true doesn't make you talking about it right. Wrap your head around that. I don't say I get a free pass. I'm just telling you, why don't you bring it to me? That's difficult, isn't it? Because that's what the Spirit wants to do. The Spirit, the Bible commands us to go to that brother. The Spirit does not command us to go to some other brother and talk behind the door. The flesh wants to do that. That's standing in the way of sinners. By the way, that happens right in this room. I'm telling you that there are people out there that you should not want to stand with. You should not want to stand with a homosexual crowd. You should not want to stand with the bar drinking crowd. You should not want to stand with the rock and roll going crowd. You should not want to stand with the people that go to the wrong church. You should not want to stand with the people that don't believe the King James Bible. You should not stand with those people. Do not stand with them. Do not stand with them. Do not stand with them. Don't be there with them. It may sound good, but it won't be right. Don't stand with them. But here's the problem. That's not the only people we're dealing with. You've got to learn not to stand with the folks that you see right here in this room. If they decide to stand in the way of sin, you should not stand with them. I've always challenged people to have their own faith. Their own faith. Don't rely on the faith of your preachers. Don't rely on the faith of your people. Rely on your faith. You should have faith. You should get faith in God. You should know what the right way is. You should know what the right things are. You should have that. You should study. You should want it. You should pray. You should do all those things. Don't rely on the people around here to have it for you. Because if you have it on your own, you won't go in that room. If you have it on your own, you won't get behind that door. If you have it on your own, you'll take the person that wants to gossip about you and you'll march them right to the person they're gossiping about. Have faith. You know faith. You have your own. How do you get that? Watch these folks around you. There's some men in this room that have way more faith than I do. Those are the ones I watch. Those are the ones I want to be around. Those are the ones I want to surround myself with. Because I don't want to stand in the way of sinners. It's amazing how your life has to stop to stand. Think about that for a moment. He walketh from person to person to person to find the counsel of the ungodly, to find the counsel that makes you happy. It's amazing how we stop, though, in our sin and stay right there. Can I just think about this for a moment? You ever had a sin that plagued your life that you just couldn't kick? Something that came along. Everybody has it. That's something, that chink in your armor, that thing that just gets you. With me, it's the dirty, rotten music. I tell you, I hear it. I don't have any of it, but I hear it. Because everywhere you go, they play it. I hear it, and then I can't stop thinking about it. And it takes me a long time to get that out of my head. That's a chink in my armor. It's amazing to me that if I would entertain that longer, I'd find myself standing in the middle of it. In that sinfulness. Because it is sin. We can't pussyfoot with it. The rock and roll music is sinful music. The country music that you're listening to is sinful music. I don't care if it mentions God in it. It's still sinful music. Get some good music in your vehicles. Get some good music. Wait a minute. I'm done with music. That's right. Done with music. Done with music. Don't want to lie to you. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. It's amazing to me to watch this regression. Here's the regression. You went around and found counsel that you really shouldn't have found, but you found it and you wanted it so bad that you found that counsel that steered you in the wrong direction. You got that counsel, went in the wrong direction, found yourself standing with this group that gave you the counsel. You found yourself standing with this group and standing in the way of sinners. It's amazing to me that eventually you'll find yourself sitting down cursing the people that are over there. I'll give you a great example using me again. I'm a horrible person. Did you know that? I've got an example for me in every one of these. Boy, I don't know if I should do that. I should lie to you and tell you how great I am. Soul winning. Oh my goodness, are you kidding me? Soul winning. I hate the numbers game. Just going to be honest with you right up front, I hate the numbers game. Okay? I don't like the fact that people tell me they won 75 people to the Lord and never went out one time. Okay? I have a hard time with the numbers game. However, they're going and I'm not. Now, this is what it did. I can get counsel from ungodly people that tell me you don't have to go. I can find it. It's out there. You don't really have to go. You can win a soul any day of the week. You don't have to go on Saturday. Stay with me now. Don't you run out on me. Bell hasn't rung yet. Just stay with me. I'm talking about me, not you. I can find counsel that tells me I don't have to hand out a tract unless Saturday comes. I can find counsel that'll fix this for me. You don't have to go on Saturday. You can go any day of the week. I can find a way or a person or a thought that will get me out of soul winning the rest of my life. So I took that counsel of the ungodly, started walking this way. Eventually I found myself standing in the way of sinners. All those numbers. I can't stand those people that get those numbers, stupid numbers. Here I am standing in the way of sinners. Doesn't take me very long where I'm sitting and scorning the people that are going out and soul winning. There I was. There I was. They're not doing it right. They're not doing the job. Bless God, they're not doing what they ought to. Ah, they're lying, whatever. Here I am sitting in the seat of the scornful. Let me help you. What I'm scorning about very well may be true. It may be that they're not doing what they're saying. It may be that they're lying. It may be that their motives aren't right. It may be that they're just out there to show off. It may be that their motives aren't correct. But that does not make this right. Very difficult for you to be able to say that a soul winner is doing the wrong thing when you're not out soul winning yourself. But there I was. And you, let me help you a little bit. This, and it's true. I'm talking about me now. It's true that they were not doing the way that they ought to do it. They were not. But it was also true that the only reason I was saying that is because I wasn't. The only reason I was saying that is because I still had the same half a dozen tracks in my pocket that I've had for the last year. Oh, I'm talking about me. Don't get mad at me. I'm talking about me, not you. I know you're not doing this. The same six tracks that have been in my pocket have always been there. Why? Because I'm not giving them out. But there I was sitting in the seat of the scornful. They're doing it wrong. They're not doing it right. I'm so sick of the numbers game. Blah, 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 blah. And you can find anything you want sitting right here. You can find it. All you got to do is think about it because your flesh will come up with some good stuff. Boy, I'm hitting home. I know I am. You can come up with some great stuff on saying why that side's wrong. And you find yourself sitting in the seat of the scornful. That's the seat of the scornful. Seat means two things, by the way. And by the way, there's lots of definitions, but there's two things. Seat is a seat. Yes, seat, sitting in the seat. Yes, but seat is a place of power. Wait a minute. This is good stuff. If seat is a place of power, it's amazing how the scornful believe that they're in power. Amen? Tell me I'm wrong. Oh, I know what's right. Bless God, I know what's right. They're over here doing the wrong thing, and I'm over here in this seat because I know what's right, and I know what's going on. Let me help you out a little bit. I can't harp at you about reading the Bible if I don't read it myself. One thing I've learned over the last 21 years with my pastor, he won't ask you to do anything he's not willing to do himself. Won't do it. Let me help you out a little bit. I can never talk about a soul winner unless I'm soul winning. That's the seat of the scornful. If I want to walk in the counsel of the godly, I'm going to walk over here and start soul winning. That's what God tells us to do. Are you with me? By the way, we're still on the first verse. 7 week study on six verses. Praise God. So here we are, finding our way away from this crowd, walking, because you got to walk to get to this side, finding a way to get counsel that will give you in a direction that you want to go. Be careful. The direction you want to go is really not the direction you want to go. It's the direction your flesh wants to go. So your flesh walks over. By the way, every single person in this room has that flesh. They have that battle. They walk over this direction, find a group of people that they can stand in and be accepted. I believe that's standing in the way of sinners. An acceptance of your sin. Amen? An acceptance of your sin. Brother Dave's off his rocker. Let's stand over here. Brother Dave's nuts. Let's stand over here. It's sin to think I'm nuts. Anyway, so you stand over here with this group of sinners. It's not long until you take a seat of prominence in your scorn or your disdain or your dislike for the godly side. Every single person can do it. Why? Because every single person's a sinner. And by the way, it doesn't matter who it is, I can give you preacher after preacher after preacher after preacher that has been over here at one time, walked over here to the ungodly side, stood in the way of sinners, and ended up sitting in the seat of the scornful. I can give you preachers that have done it. I can give you people that have done it. If you want to know what my greatest prayer for my life is that, Lord, please don't let me be over here. Because I'm telling you, I could in a minute. My flesh is so big, so is yours, that I could be there in a minute. In a minute I could be there. And I don't want you to go there. Your righteous soul being vexed. Spoke of Lot in the Bible. The righteous soul was vexed daily. It's amazing to me to listen to Abraham begging for the city that he knew his nephew was in. Begging for the, well, if there's only this many or this many, this many. It got down to just a little bit more than his family. Certainly Lot has done enough to get this many to be godly. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed because Lot couldn't even get his son-in-laws to be right. Think about that for a minute. He couldn't even get, his son-in-laws didn't even come along. His wife was turned into a pillar of salt. She became so infatuated with the world. Do you think they're bad people? No, they're sinners. But they gave in to this side. They stopped fighting. Bless God, I'm going to do what is right. It's amazing how short that lasts. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to go the right direction. You will for a little while. But you got to fight every day. Paul says, I die daily. Why? Because he wants to know that to the sin, I'm going to die. To the flesh, I'm going to die. I'm not going to give it preeminence. I'm not going to give it prominence. I'm not going to talk to it. I want to go this direction. That's a fight every day. Paul, of all people in the Bible, we're going to talk about him this morning in the morning service. Paul, of all the people, had the right to say, I'm doing it correctly. But Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. He knew what this side was. He knew that his flesh wanted to be over here. He knew he had to fight it. Let's read that verse one more time. I haven't heard the buzzer, but it's got to be close. Let's read that verse one more time. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Stay away from ungodly counsel. You won't walk in that direction. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. I personally don't believe you'll get to stand in the way of sinners if you seek godly counsel. But if you don't seek godly counsel, seek the counsel of the ungodly, you will end up standing in the way of sinners. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You won't have that seat over here in the scornful if you'll take godly counsel. If you take godly counsel, you won't get yourself standing in the way of sinners. If you don't stand in the way of sinners, you'll never get yourself to the seat of the scornful. I believe this is a regression of the human condition. And I believe this, by the way, I know we stopped talking about music, but this is Psalms. This is a song. This song should be, lift your voice up to the Lord and praise Him for all the good things that He hath done. And your counsel will get better, your way will get better, and your seat will get better. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. Oh God, please be with the services this morning. I'm begging you. We need you today. We need you. They don't need to hear from me, God. They need to hear from you. And Lord, we need you in such a special way. Oh God, so many people have so many prayer requests. We went over them this morning and I think about them and their fight against the flesh during this time of hardness, this time of trial. Lord, please help them. Oh God, please help them to not go that direction. Help them to seek godly counsel. Oh Lord God, I watch so many men sit by the bedside of their wives or spouses and praise you for the hard times that were there, and they praised you still and gave you all the glory. And God, I want to be like that. I want to be like that with my life. Lord, please help me. Help me to seek godly counsel so I don't go that direction of the ungodly. Help me to seek godly counsel so I don't find myself standing in the way of sinners. Help me to seek godly counsel so I don't find myself sitting in the seat of the scornful. Oh God, please help us. Help each and every one of us today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.